views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
Mile. You're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
Flows as a gentle breeze, and it fills our soul with gladness, and it puts our heart at ease.
Happy New Year, everyone, and thank you for listening. This is WGBB 1240, Long Island's oldest radio station, and you're listening to the most popular show on WGBB. It's time for
Listen Up, Jesus is on the air.
Hey, praise Jesus, and thank you for listening, everyone. You're always in our prayers, deeply so, and we want to thank you. And I want to open this show as I open up all my shows, and it's in loving memory of my of my dear partner and co-host, Dr. John Palmer. We're trying to live through his legacy, and his legacy was to evangelize through the radio networks, and that's what we're trying to do, and we're keeping his legacy alive as best we can. Oh, and by the way, thank you for all those that have donated to the radio show, all those that are in his memory. We sent out a complete package of all to everyone that donates, and you'll probably love it, and also a copy of his book. And we pray for you every day, and you're in our perpetual novena that I pray for every day. So all those that have donated, thank you, and we love you, and thank you for helping us keep his legacy alive. And we just want to mention every penny that gets donated goes strictly to paying for the radio show. There's no other expenses. Every other expenses we foot ourselves, but we use it strictly to pay the station. And so, also, before I forget, opening the show was our dear friend Al Barbarino, who sings our theme song. We don't always have time to have it completed, but we do want you to know that he'll be at St. John's Evangelist Church in Santa Mauritius, and he will sing and speak at all the masses and offer a parish mission on Monday and Tuesday nights, January 9th and 10th at 7:30, beginning the new year with Jesus. And perhaps this is something that we should all consider and make our New Year's resolution, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So go see Al, he's a dear friend and we love him so. So listen, Joan, why don't you introduce our guest?
Okay.
They're very dear friends of ours, by the way. Our guests are, they've been friends of ours for a long time. They're supporters of the show, and we do love them dearly.
Okay, well, we have here Carol Rubano, who is the director of Living Waters, a social worker, and she has an assistant with her today. Her name is Tricia King, and she works alongside of Carol every day. So, Carol or Trish, whoever like to start.
I just want to add, yeah. Tricia is not just Tricia. She is the executive director of Living Waters. Assistant director of Living Waters.
Carol's the executive.
Carol is the executive. Okay.
What
a daughter. And she's also Carol's daughter. And we love them both. And they're great supporters of the show. So, Carol and Trish. What I want to do is I want to present businesses in a Catholic perspective. And there are a lot of people out there that are in need of counseling for all different reasons, drinking, drugs, suicidal, family. And I want to present to the listeners what's available in a Catholic perspective. So now I'm going to hit you with a question. You ready? You holding on?
No, we're not ready.
Okay, so the Catholic, the idea is, why is it important for doing counseling, but counseling in a Catholic perspective? How do you bring that about, Carol?
Well, that's a wonderful question.
Oh, you hear that, Joan?
Heard that.
You hear that?
Real
yes.
Wonderful.
Yeah,
of course.
Mark it down, Joanie, baby.
Okay. Because that has been my mission since the year 2000, when this was started.
Is that when you started?
Yeah, huh? 2000. And it's different because I worked in the secular, so did Tricia. She worked in our profession in a secular environment. And what I found is, although I would bring the Holy Spirit into it, into the session, I really couldn't say something about God, because you can't. You can't. When I was working with the 12-step programs, you could put a power greater than yourself, but that wasn't enough for me. That wasn't enough. So we began Living Waters in the year 2000. The difference is the Holy Spirit comes into each session. And the Holy Spirit, through the mercy of God and through the intercession of Mary, Jesus's mother, brings healing, not just like makes things a little bit better for people, because that's what therapy does. Mm-hmm. It really alleviates some of the pain for people. But we're going beyond that. When you bring Christ into the session, you go beyond that. You bring spirit there, the spirit of the living God. And who else could heal?
That's right.
But Jesus.
Yeah.
Who else could heal but Jesus?
And so Jesus is in every session that you do.
Yeah.
So for all those devout Catholics that are looking for help or need help or have, you know, family help, there's a lot of families with children that need counseling. Mm-hmm. And what wonderful gift can you do but provide them counseling on a Catholic perspective?
Right.
I think it's beautiful. I really
do. Most of these people understand the importance of the Holy Spirit and how he's affecting their lives?
Well, I think that each person comes with where we're at. We never force spirituality on a person. But what I've found, and Carol's found, and as well as the other therapists, I think, is that over time, if people are open to it, we pray over them. And over time, I've seen like a really much more of a deepening of faith and a sense of spirituality. People who maybe grew up Catholic but kind of didn't really understand what it meant and got lost will come because they feel something missing, but they're not exactly sure what that the missing piece is. And when they work with us and the Holy Spirit, they really do get a deepening sense of faith and go back to start going back to Mass and really deepening an adult level of understanding of Jesus Christ. So it's really beautiful.
So it really is all-encompassing.
It
really brings people together.
Yes.
Brings them back to God.
Yeah. And, you know, and there
and
are, of course,
them.
People that
yes.
come that already have that sense of faith. And we go with where the client's at. We never force anything because that's not the way to evangelize is by forcing people into something they're not comfortable with.
But it's a beautiful thing to have them understand how the Holy Spirit affects their lives and to ask for him. Just ask for the Spirit to come.
Exactly.
You know, if you ask him, he'll be with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most people really have many people have a very immature image of God brought to them through a very small window of education on who God really is. And they take that image of God and they transform it into their adult life, and it doesn't work. Many times what happens is the image they had of their own father is transferred onto God the Father. And if there was punishment there, if there was a sense of no mercy, which is another part of what we're going to talk about, no mercy, but just plain discipline from an authoritative point of view, that's how they see God the Father, believe it or not. And it's very, very sad because they don't see God the Father or Jesus or anybody in faith as someone who has a real love for them. They see.
Oh, that's interesting. I never realized that, you know, maybe that was a cause of some people. Why would they feel like that? What brings that on? And their own father really has a lot to do with that. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Absolutely. And anyone who has a mother wound, which means that the mother wasn't present to them the way they needed the mother to be present, believe it or not, it gets transferred onto the Blessed Mother.
Oh.
Would you have believed this?
Yeah.
Yes.
And one of the things that I tell my clients is when I really was very blessed and fortunate to be raised in a household that had an understanding of who, you know, Jesus is and who God is, the Father. And but when I had my son is when I really realized who God truly is.
Yeah.
And that,
yeah.
Okay, if I love this little one unconditionally and he hurts me, do I, you know, not forgive and stop loving and be, you know, punishing and always in anger? No. So if I, on a human level, can love that way,
how much more can God love us?
You know, and it's just such, like, you know, I think a really good analogy of God's mercy.
You know, when you mentioned that you were blessed having Carol as your mother, before that, in all honesty, I was thinking Carol was blessed to have you for a daughter.
Oh, thank you.
Because I don't know if you, I'm sure you do, but I've come across it all the time, that children go, you know, push away from the church after they reach a certain age, and parents pray constantly to bring them back, to bring them back to religion.
Absolutely.
Like St. Monica did, prayed for 18 years to bring son St. Augustine back.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very rare in my estimation that an offspring, although it had very deep roots to the Catholic Church, stuck with it like you did. For some reason, and everyone that I talk to, they spread away.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to keep praying to bring them back. So let me ask you a question. What kept you to your roots? Or was it just inborn? To your roots, meaning to the Catholic Church, your Catholic faith, your belief in Jesus as our Savior. And I, you know, the reason why I'm asking you this question, not that I'm a little wacky, but but don't ask Joan. Don't ask my wife.
No, you're not wacky.
I know my wife loves me. By the way, Joan and I are just two little kids, and we're very much in love with Jesus.
That's right.
Yeah? What inspired you to keep your ties with Jesus in the Catholic Church? And were you ever tempted to fall away?
Yeah, I definitely, growing up in the manner I said that I did, and just always knowing, having a relationship with God, the Father, just in connection with Him, and knowing that no matter what was going on in my life from a very young age, and that I would really have to say came from my mom, but from a very, that He was there. Like, there was never a sense of not having faith. I definitely went through a period of, in my 20s, of just kind of not being present, but then having my son brought me, you know, to the that's what I wanted to raise him in.
Wow. Well, you know what? That's a good inspirational sentence for those listening out there, especially for those parents that are not heartbroken, but are praying like St. Monica does, that their children will come back to the church, because there's a big percentage of those that have left the church when they made their confirmation, or they reached 18 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So my hat's off to you. You're blessed.
I think that everyone goes through their own trials, trying to figure it out as they grow older. And once the roots are there, many times, like Tricia said, and my grandson is wonderful. Like, he's very faith-filled, and he really knows God. But I think that everybody has to go through their own understanding of faith. It's not just a cradle Catholic anymore.
No.
You know?
No,
because
right.
Life today just has so many things thrown at it that people have to use their minds in order to get back.
Yeah.
And whether it's the birth of a child, or it could be an illness, or it could be some kind of tragedy. Like when you have no place else to go, like my husband Vinny always says, you know, I'm sure others say.
Whom I really love, by the way.
There are no atheists in the foxholes, you know. So it's quite a world out there. There's secularism versus Catholicism, versus faith, basically.
Right, exactly.
Secularism versus faith. Mm-hmm. And people are always struggling, but if they have nothing to hold on to, then what do you do with that?
That's right.
What do you do with it?
Now, I'm not letting you off the hook either, Carol. Joan wants to know.
Joan, you want to know?
What do I want to know?
What made you, now you're a counselor, right?
Yes.
A clinical mm-hmm. counselor, and you counsel people for different problems and situations. Right. Mm-hmm. But what made you turn to Jesus and your Catholic perspective?
Okay.
And what you did is you made the Catholic religion as a pillar of your clinical mm-hmm. business, right?
Correct.
And that's why I want people to know that there are businesses out there with a Catholic perspective. And, you know, if you're going to do business with somebody or you need help, I would always ask or try to find it on a Catholic perspective. So, Carol, talk.
Well, one of the things you'll find in the Catholic perspective is there's a moral compass there, a good moral compass. It's very tweaked. And so if you're going to someone who has that perspective, you can trust. You can trust that they're going to do the best they can for you.
Yes.
I don't know how else to say it. But my own personal story began a long time ago, a real long time ago when I was 5.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And I happened to know at that point that the only way to do this is through God. I think it was a gift.
Oh, my goodness, definitely.
A real gift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And by the time I received communion, I happened to know that the way to go is this way. And there were a lot of trials in life, and there were a lot of tribulations, and I stood by it. This was an evolution, though, starting a Catholic practice through fits and starts. I started another therapy center with 4 other women, and it was supposed to be Judeo-Christian. And as it turned out, the only Catholic on the group, which I didn't know, was me.
Oh, wow. That's phenomenal.
The other 4 women were, 3 women were supposed to really be Catholic. And it really honed me because it gave me a good perspective of the New Age philosophy, which I was not for. It gave me a good perspective of secular religion and how religion is used like a cafeteria kind of thing. I'll take this from A, I'll take this from B, and I'll put it together. And so that dissolved. Because nothing that is of not of the Lord in that way, there was a lot of division there, and it dissolved. It was a very painful time, too, when it dissolved. And then I went into practicing on my own. But the Lord kept calling me to this.
Wow.
And in 2000, that's what
it
I started.
It was meant to be.
So yeah. once Jesus starts calling you and you say yes, you're on the way.
Yeah,
fasten your seatbelt, baby.
That's right. You're on a roller coaster ride. That's
yeah.
for sure.
Well,
in so many ways. Right, Tricia?
Right?
Yeah. Living Waters has been a roller coaster and much grace through it, though. Oh, so many people have truly come out of it in a different space. But for us, it has been a real roller coaster.
Well, I know that I've made several recommendations. I've recommended you to several people, and I haven't gotten one bad report. Everyone that I've recommended have come back to me and says they loved it, no matter what counselor you gave them. They did their job and accomplished what they were hoping to accomplish. So,
well, thank you for those recommendations.
I'm not just saying that. It's the truth. And I just made another recommendation for you, and I will continue because I believe that if people want to deal with businesses or professionals, why not deal with people with a Catholic perspective?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And this way it's put up to Jesus, it's in Jesus' hands, and you tell Jesus, all right, Jesus, just let it happen. So.
Well, the reality is, though, and I was talking about this to another colleague during the week, that a therapist has tremendous power to influence a person's life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Tremendous power.
Oh, and so I found.
Do you have families or just teenagers? No. Or everyone? Oh,
she's got the whole gamut. Yeah. She's got the whole works, babe.
Tremendous power.
From three on up. From age three on up.
Yeah. Really? She's got the whole bit.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm. But I was going to say, one of the nice things about Living Waters Counseling Center is that we really work as a team. There's, we're very supportive of one another. And so, like Carol was saying, that, you know, we really take our role seriously because we do influence people. So it's nice that we're able to talk to our colleagues who are all, we're all Catholic.
Yeah.
And, you know, exactly. We do group supervision and we meet once a month and we do mass and really come together.
Mass, we pray.
Yeah.
We pray.
Now, where else do you get
pray,
that?
Pray.
Right?
Yeah.
No, yeah. So, I mean, it really is a community effort. So you're not, as a therapist, you know, you're not alone in working with somebody, which is, I think, a really important perspective.
It's a big advantage.
Right? Now, I've met several of your therapists, and they are all spiritually inclined.
Yes.
Every one of them.
Well, that's one
of the... Oh, that's
one of the prerequisites.
Yeah, and so that's great. All right, now, the topic that we thought we would also talk about is the Year of the Mercy and things like that, and just want you to know that Living Water selected the music for the show. And so let's play one of those songs, okay?
Okay, very good, Tom.
Now, which one did you want to play first?
I believe Divine. The Divine Mercy. Yeah.
Divine Mercy? Okay. Now, I have a new setup that I did. I'm hoping it's going to work. So Jesus and the Holy Spirit, please let it work. Here we go, the Divine Mercy.
Praise God.
This is the Year of Divine Mercy, so we'll be discussing that right after this music.
What do you think?
Good.
I knelt before you one stormy night. His face was adorned in a golden light. I felt so unworthy. Wanted to run and hide, but his gaze was so intense, I felt paralyzed. Divine mercy, like a river, flood my soul, wash me clean. Divine mercy, like a river.
Right.
When
you
said
true.
I thirst on the cross,
I know, for us,
meant more than we think.
Absolutely.
Just to have a drink. He thirsts for us.
There's so much symbolism there.
Yeah.
So much symbolism.
Great selection, Trish.
Oh,
yeah, very
Trisha
good. Very great.
She did.
And I'm so proud that I'm able to pull this one off. this is new technology, people out there. Thanks to my bride.
Just a speaker. I never saw a speaker like that. That was very nice.
Very cute.
Well, I had to turn to my son Anthony to show me how to use it. So he showed me yesterday.
We all need help
sometimes. So, okay, we're going to have another one. Same way. We'll see what happens. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing to knock this one off the way we wanted it. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're starting the year of mercy. Mm-hmm. What does it mean? What is this year of mercy? What are we talking about?
Well, I think that's very hard. It's very difficult to really define mercy. Mercy is not a quality that's easy to define, but I think it's a quality that's easy to show. And I'm going to tie it in this year of mercy, to what it is to have a Catholic therapist, because they are merciful. They are merciful. Mm. We are merciful. We look beyond what the client's presenting. One of the things I thought about and prayed about coming on the show is everybody thinks the holidays are so wonderful for so many people. Well, they're not. On a human level, they're
what
not.
What a great thought.
They're not.
Yes.
They're not.
Yes.
In the last week since Christmas, I wrote down in my little room, which is very much like a little confession room, our little therapy rooms, but we don't do reconciliation, so we recommend that the person then go to confession.
Yeah.
But the things that came up during the week was that one person came in and three members of her family in the last 2 years died around Christmas.
Oh, my goodness.
Another came in feeling as though she doesn't fit with her own family. She feels very judged by everyone. Another going through a terribly bitter divorce and wishing it was different, doesn't want the divorce. But you can't have a marriage if only one person wants the marriage. It doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So she's in this big divorce. Another, a husband committed suicide over a year ago.
Oh, boy.
And another only has two people in her whole family.
Wow.
The family has gotten to the point where there's only two people. And the loneliness, there's so much loneliness with people because families are spread out now. We are in a place where, you know, people travel, people move, they go to different states, different countries and stuff. And so there's not that much there. There's a lot of drinking, there's drugs. And someone even, her husband died during this year.
Mm.
In December. So those are the things that a therapist comes across. And we don't talk about that. How were your holidays? Oh, they were fine. Oh, they were great. And they were great if you can keep the focus on Jesus and his mercy. Not only Jesus, the greatest mercy was that Mary said yes to the angel and she conceived a child. She conceived a child who then would become our Savior. And that is the beginning of mercy, that she said yes to that.
Absolutely.
Without knowing.
But, Carol, what I'm gathering from what you're saying is that Christmas season is so beautiful, so spiritual, so welcoming that that our Savior was born. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of the token, mm-hmm. it brings up a lot of stress and a lot of problems. And so there are hidden benefits and there are hidden downs with the Christmas season. And so, and there are a lot of people that are affected through the Christmas season and the depression and things like that. So what's your, and I'm sure there are people, that listeners that are going through it right now.
True.
And with sicknesses and stuff like that. So what's your advice to them? What should they do?
Would you like to take that, Josh?
Well, no, go ahead, because he was asking you,
okay.
So I wasn't.
Oh, either
I wasn't
one.
Posing,
either
I wasn't
one.
Posing,
I'm asking
right.
Living waters.
Okay. Well, we have to understand that all human beings, because of original sin, are broken. We might as well forget it to think that there's any perfection. Christmas is beautiful, but it's not a Hallmark kind of thing that we see on television. And a lot of people believe that it is this, you know, everybody's going to gather, everybody's going to have a good time in the best of families. You're going to have things going on at Christmas dinner in the best of families. Yeah. It's not all going to be that. So we have to refocus on the light of Christ. We have to refocus on that and keep our focus on this is the birth of Jesus our Savior. And through the mercy of the person who's hearing all this pain, they will be able to understand that Christ has mercy on them and he's in every situation in their lives, including the pain of whatever might happen during this beautiful season. So not to be torn, because oftentimes we walk, the fine line between being human and having the spiritual and divine in us. And when we talk about the birth of Christ, the beauty of Christ, the wonderfulness in church, and the wonderfulness in our lives of having Christ with us, we have to remember we're also a human being. The same kind of human being such as Peter was when he denied Christ 3 times.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
The same kind of human being that, did a lot when it came to doing Mary Magdalene and being the prostitute. The same kind of human being that has all kinds of things in their brokenness that they do. So what we need to do is go from that place into the place of love and compassion and mercy, because Jesus is the most merciful part of the universe, and God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And thus the year of mercy.
And thus the year
as
of mercy.
Proclaimed by our Holy Father.
Yes, and I think that he wanted it to be a year of mercy, because mercy is often, and John Paul also did it in his encyclical on mercy, it's an often forgotten quality. How many times can we be merciful?
Mm-hmm.
Like Tricia said, with her son really hurt her, and she was able to forgive him. Well, how many times can we forgive other people? Oftentimes in our little office, people are coming to us, and they're really hurt by people that they really love. Like I said, that one person, she doesn't want a divorce, but he does. What do you do with that?
Mm-hmm.
You can't change that. You
right.
can't change someone's mind. If they don't want it, they don't want it. So it takes mercy to, and you can't at that present time go into mercy. But as time goes on, what we need to do, once we work through some of the pain of the brokenness, we need to go into mercy. And mercy is a quality that Jesus has shown us and that Pope Francis is showing us all the time by just embracing those, washing the feet of people, washing the feet of prisoners, jumping out of his Pope Mobile and
right.
hugging people
right.
and really being with them. He is a merciful. He's showing. And mercy can't be defined. It can be shown by looking at someone, how they're living their lives and how they're embracing the people around them.
So what I'm gathering, what you're saying, I think anyway, I'm not that bright, but this is what I think.
I think you're very bright, Tony.
is that this year of mercy by the Holy Father is the Holy Father is offering us mercy, an opportunity to clean the slate, set the road straight, go on the narrow path.
That's right.
But in return, I think there's something that we have to do. And I think that what I'm hearing is that this joy of receiving this mercy has to be spread from to us to those that we need to give mercy to, those that have offended us, those that have hurt us in so many ways. And so I think it's a two-way street. We're getting the mercy from the Holy Father, from Jesus and the heavens. But in turn, we got to turn around and give the mercy to those that offended us and forgive them. And let me tell you something, baby. The hardest thing, the hardest thing, and for me, is to forgive those that have offended me.
And really, you have to listen to the Our Father
yes,
to do that. Forgive great us point. Our trespasses
as we forgive
we
those.
Forgive those.
But it's you know, famous,
how do we forgive those?
Well, there's a little quote that I would meditate on, but unforgiveness is it's a rusty arrow, it's a poison, a rusty nail, a poison to the soul.
Right.
So when you can't forgive, you are not in that state of mercy, and you're actually poisoning yourself spiritually.
Wow. Yes.
So that's
yes.
actually how...
And you're keeping yourself away from Jesus.
Correct. And so that's actually how I've been able to understand mercy and forgiveness. It's not just you're forgiving the other person because they did something wrong. You're actually forgiving also to heal yourself.
Exactly.
So.
Because that person doesn't feel anything. When you feel that you can't forgive them, you feel the hurt.
Correct.
And they don't feel anything.
Right.
They don't know that you don't forgive them.
Right.
It has to be in your heart.
Right.
You know, the time is flying here. It really is more than I think. I just want to make a blanket statement. I'm telling you, all those that I have ever offended, and I don't even know who they are.
He's sorry.
I'm sorry.
Can we all do that? Can we all add that?
I ask for your forgiveness. I am sorry, and I know I've offended a lot of people in my life. And that goes for you too, sweetheart.
Thank you.
Sorry for all that I've offended you with.
Well, I think marriage is the real playground for understanding mercy and forgiveness, because you take two people from two different places in life
right.
and put them together 24/7. It's not going to be the easiest
not
road.
You're right. You're right.
But I think people get confused too, because they think forgiveness means you have to enter into the relationship with the other person.
No.
And get re-hurt.
Mean that at all.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And by the way, this goes for my children too, who I love dearly. So I know sometimes I'm a little harsh, and I know sometimes I'm a little outspoken, but if I've ever offended you and my daughter-in-laws and son-in-laws, I ask for your forgiveness. How was that, Joan? Did I say it the way you wanted me
yes.
to say it?
Tony, that was very beautiful, and that is very humbling.
Well,
because when you ask for forgiveness and the other person says, no, I can't forgive you, then you're on the stick.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But that's okay. As long as you ask for it, then
that's
your
right.
side of the street
yeah.
is clean.
And that you really worked hard to
right.
not do something like that again.
Right.
I think is...
mm-hmm. So let's go on to the next song that you chose. You chose Faustina's song.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we try it? Okay, Jesus.
Because she's the apostle of mercy in the center, right?
Mm-hmm. It's working.
Praise God.
Thank you, Jesus.
To trust in, if not Jesus, right?
I trust in you. Jesus,
my song when I was sick, I just trusted.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
When you were
when I had cancer.
Wow, is that your song, your theme song, huh?
That week, I only had a week, but I had that week. Well, that's all I said was I just knew. You know,
wow.
I just knew I'd be okay.
Is that right?
I just knew it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and I was. Yeah. 5 years ago.
So you had cancer, and then what happened?
I had a big operation.
Uh huh.
And they said it was very serious, that it could spread very easily.
Right.
Great. I feel so technically involved with this new machine. Anthony, thank you so much for setting it up for me last night. Love you, baby. Okay, Joan, let's get on with the saint. I'm not going to really do a saint. I'm just going to talk quickly about what heaven and hell.
Okay.
Christina's take on heaven and hell. But why don't you do the...
you want me to do this first?
The reflection.
Okay.
The reflection is written every week by a secret admirer of us. And which doesn't want his name revealed, but we love him. Okay.
Okay. The spiritual reflection for the week is we saw the newborn king's star and its rising and have come to do him homage. The Magi from the east recognize Jesus' star, the star of the newborn king, and they go to him and offer their gifts. Firstly, even though they are kings, they recognize that they are not the king of kings. Secondly, they offer gifts. They give, even though they are used to receiving from others. And such a good lesson is contained here for us. It is characteristic of truly wise persons not to make themselves the center of the world. It demonstrates true humility to always be on the search and journey to learn from another. How often are we self-satisfied in our own world and stop searching for the wisdom of Christ in our lives? Also, once we acknowledge this wisdom from above, we need to practice it. This practice of Jesus' ways then becomes our precious gifts offered back to God. May this new year, 2016, find us reaching and journeying more each day. Let us never become settled with where we are on our spiritual journey that we should be filling our hearts and lives with. And may we always look to offer gifts back to God, the gift of a holy life, rather than always expecting gifts from Him. For He has already offered us His greatest gift. He's given us Jesus. Amen.
Thank you, Joan. Beautiful. Joan reads it because I was born in Brooklyn and I don't have good diction. But you know what troubles me? She was born 5 blocks away from me and she speaks beautifully. I don't get it. So thank you, Joan. But I just wanted to quickly, you know, I like to highlight a saint every show. So I thought maybe instead of highlighting a particular biography of a saint, I'd highlight one of the portions of her life. And one of the portions of Saint Faustina for Divine Mercy was that she was taken to see what hell, purgatory, and heaven were all about. So I thought I'd read a little bit about what hell is all about so that our listeners would know, hey, this is your time, baby. This is the time for Divine Mercy. This is the year of the mercy. Could wipe the slate clean. And I'm certainly hoping. Going to confession and laying out the protocol that the Holy Father, the Pope, laid out to get complete dispensation from your sins.
And the good thing is, Tony, from my perspective, is there are people in this day and age who do not believe there is a hell.
Yeah, well, so let's see what Saint Faustina has to say. The following passage was taken from the diary of Saint Faustina, which I read and I have, and it's beautiful. They refer to her visions of hell, purgatory, and heaven, and there are all three. Very interesting. I saw two roads, she said. One was broad, covered with sand and flowers, full of joy, music, all sorts of pleasures. People walked along it, dancing and enjoying themselves. They reached the end without realizing it, and at the end of the road, there was a horrible path that led to hell. The souls fell blindly into it as they walked, so they fell, and their number was so great that it was impossible to count them. And I saw the other road, or rather path, for it was narrow with thorns and rocks, and the people who walked along it had tears in their eyes, and all kinds of suffering befell them. Some fell down upon the rocks, but stood up immediately and went on. At the end of the road, there was a magnificent garden full of all sorts of happiness, and all these souls entered there. At the very first instant, they forgot all the sufferings they were going through. And that's in her diary, 153. Then she goes on to say, today I was led by an angel of hell, to hell. It is a place of great torture. How awesomely large and extensive it is. The kind of tortures I saw, the first torture that constitutes hell is the loss of God. The second is perpetual remorse of conscience. The third is that one's condition will never change. Once you're in hell, baby, you're in hell. There's no getting out. That's my ad-lib, by the way. That's not what St. Faustina said. The fourth is the fire that will penetrate the soul without contemplating the inner life of God. It is very torturing, and the hardest thing to know is that the loss of God is forever, and we could never ever in this life comprehend the torture of losing God until we've lost Him. The source of happiness is unchanging in its essence, but it's always new and gushing forth. The happiness that we sought will never enter us once we are in hell. We will suffer. We will be in pain. We will be blackened by the fires. We will be laughed at by Satan. And the drudgery is eternal. And so I'm not really reading everything. I'm just ad-libbing to it. But the fact is, hell is hell. This is our chance. This is our opportunity to evade it and to bring Jesus back into our lives. I would read Purgatory, but we're running out of time, so I'll save Purgatory in Heaven for another time. But listeners, there's a hell, there's a purgatory, and there's a heaven that you gotta believe in. And of course, let's set our sights for heaven so that we could be with Jesus for the rest of our lives.
And it doesn't matter what your sin is. God's mercy is there for everyone. And just as he gives us mercy, that's what this is all about. He wants us to be merciful to all.
Absolutely.
To be merciful to everyone.
And
we will receive his mercy. Just go to confession. And everyone will be filled with mercy.
And follow the protocol that the Holy Father's laid out. He did lay out a protocol for us to go to different parishes, different churches.
And go through the open door.
And go through the open
door,
yes.
Which is at St. Agnes.
There's one.
St. Agnes Center.
Right. And the other place is Sacred Heart, I think, Church in Southampton.
In Southampton, yes.
I think it's Sacred Heart.
And it's also Our Lady of the Isle.
Oh, right. That's right.
And it's all listed. But the idea is, hey, this is the year of mercy.
He'll forgive you.
Why not get perpetual absolution and take advantage of wiping the slate clean? I know my slate needs to be wiped clean, and probably a lot of other people's slates need to be clean.
I think everybody's slate always needs to be wiped clean.
So, but my point is simple. Yes, St. Faustina was given the opportunity to see that there is a heaven, a hell, and a purgatory. It's up to us, listeners, to select which road we're going on. I know the road I want to go on. Okay.
And you know, there are some sins, too. Some sins like abortion, things like that, very difficult for a parish priest. I think to forgive is one thing, but I believe there are special, you can be excommunicated for that. You can be excommunicated for other things. But during this year, you can be forgiven for anything.
Well, this is why I love my profession, because many years ago, this woman came to me and she had had four abortions, and she was ready to repent. She was ready to repent. Mm. She was ready to go to confession. And as it turned out, it happened to be Holy Saturday. And so I took her by the hand and took her into a church and went to confession myself and said to the priest, you know, somebody's going to be coming in. Please be merciful, believe it or not.
Yeah, yeah.
And the priest was able to give her absolution. And would you believe that on Easter Sunday he used this in his homily? But can you imagine the relief this woman felt?
Yes.
After, because she came to the place in her life where she realized it wasn't the
right
thing to do.
And here's another another point, and you're right. And what you're saying is bringing it out. There isn't any sin, I believe, that Jesus isn't willing to forgive us for.
He loves us.
Don't be distant. Don't be saying, oh, it's too late for me. You know what? I go to the hospitals and to the homebound. I haven't been going often to the hospitals now because I've been sick, but I go to the homebound, and I hear a lot of times, especially in the hospitals, when I ask them if they would like Holy Communion, they say to me sometimes, it's too late for me. Well, it's not too late.
It's never too late.
Because Jesus will forgive you. And the Holy Father is
Take
setting
the opportunity.
It all up. Just take the opportunity to wipe the slate clean, no matter what it is. Get that slate wiped clean.
Do it this year.
And get to heaven. And let's all be saints. We could hold hands merrily in heaven as saints. Why not? Let's do it. And I know my co-host, my buddy, my partner, who I love, I'm going to cry, is up there looking down on us. And I hope you're smiling, John.
Yeah.
I know you are.
Oh, I'm sure
he
is.
So missed. Okay. He is so missed, John. So missed.
Okay. I wanted to say a prayer before we closed for our petitions, for our listeners. And Carol, would you do the honor of leading us in that prayer?
Okay. Would you like me to say the prayer that I would like to say the prayer the Pope gave
for mercy?
Then let's
do it. Then let's do it.
That's what I was thinking.
Okay.
Yes. It's the prayer of Pope Francis for the Jubilee of Mercy. Okay?
Wonderful.
Lord Jesus Christ, you have taught us to be merciful like the Heavenly Father and have told us that whoever sees you sees him. Show us your face and we will be saved. Your loving gaze freed Zacharias and Matthew from being enslaved by money, the adulteress and Madeline from seeking happiness only in created things. You made Peter weep after his betrayal and assured paradise to the repentant thief. Let us hear, as if addressed to each of us, the words that you spoke to the Samaritan woman. If you knew the gift of God that I have for you. You are the visible face of the invisible Father, of the Father who manifests his power above all by forgiveness and mercy. Let the Church be your visible face in the world, its Lord risen and glorified. You willed that your ministers would also be clothed in weakness, in order that they may feel compassion for those in ignorance and error. Let everyone who approaches them feel sought after, loved, and forgiven by God. Send your Spirit and consecrate every one of us with this anointing so that this Jubilee year of mercy may be a year of grace from the Lord. And your Church, with renewed enthusiasm, may bring good news to the poor, proclaim liberty to the captives and the oppressed, and restore sight to the blind. And we ask this through the intercession of Mary, Mother of Mercy, you who live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Would you like to say a quick prayer, Trish? Okay.
Sorry,
Joan, would you like to say a quick prayer?
Well, I'd like to pray for all the intentions that we have right here on the table, and a special prayer for Christopher and for David, who really need our prayers right now, and for anyone who through this holiday had a hard time or had things happen to them that, you know, weren't the things that we normally think of for Christmas, for New Year's. Just give these people hope and mercy from God.
Amen. And
praise you, Jesus. Praise
and Jesus, I just like to say we give you praise and glory. Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to do this radio show. Thank you for allowing us to be together. Thank you for sending us Living Waters and their ministry, which is a Catholic perspective. So we give you praise, Jesus, and we ask that you bless our listeners. We love our listeners. Bless them and make sure that they receive your Holy Spirit. And we ask that we lift up our petitions to you and ask that you help them and guide them. And let them know that you are truly not only their best friend, but you really are their big brother. And so thank you, Jesus. Thank you for allowing us to do this. And we just hope that we're doing your work and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. And by the way, listeners, next week is our 5th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Next Saturday show.
Congratulations.
Will be our 5th anniversary.
Yes. Wow.
And Happy New Year to everyone. And may mercy be with you.
And so how about let's go off with the love letter.
Long time ago, on the ocean sand, a letter views expressed in the previous program did not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB. The views expressed in the following program do not necessarily represent those of the staff, management, or owners of WGBB.
From the heart of the Nautical Mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB.com.